Father, we are thankful for this evening. Thank you for Wednesday night where we can meet in your house. And dear Father, where we can love other people by praying for them. So help us to do that tonight. Thank you for the great love that we receive from you and from other people that you have touched. We are thankful and we are blessed and we are humbled by it all. Dear Father, speak to us through your word. Thank you. Thank you for leaving us your word. And then the ones that taught us how to read through the years, we are so grateful. And Holy Spirit, thank you for illuminating our minds so that we might understand the word of God. And we just ask for your blessing upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we're going to sing that fourth verse, that last verse, that fourth verse.
Dearer grows the love of Jesus day by day. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Sweeter is His grace while pressing on my way. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
Amen. You may be seated, preacher.
Psalm 37 in your Bibles this evening. Psalm 37. You got plenty of volume. Might want to cut it down a little bit. I have four very simple thoughts, four commands to help you lead a victorious Christian life. The Christian life, you understand, is a war. It's a war against self and laziness, a war against sin and temptation. It's a war against Satan and deception, and there are casualties along the way. And a great price to be paid to be victorious. And so in Psalm 37, which is one of my favorite psalms, there's four thoughts that I want to bring out tonight, how to lead a victorious Christian life. First of all, stop fretting. Stop worrying. Look at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now look at verse 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. If we are not careful, we will spend all our time worrying and feeling sorry for ourselves. We begin to think that God isn't fair. And ladies and gentlemen, that simply is not true. God says very kindly in Psalm 37, don't fret, don't worry, don't be envious of the workers of iniquity. And what he is basically saying to us is, you're forgetting something. That person that you think God might be have his hand on more is going to spend eternity somewhere. And for a lot of these people that's mentioned here, they are going to find themselves in an awful place for eternity called hell, and we're going to spend eternity fellowshipping with Jesus, seeing our loved ones, studying law under Moses, music from David, and doctrine from Paul. I want you to hold your place here and go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. When Paul says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, you know what he's saying? He is simply saying, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Don't worry about anything. And folks, one of the things that we have to understand, God never gives us a command, but what He always gives us the ability to fulfill that command from Him. It would be so horrible if God told us to do something and then didn't give us the ability to do it and set us up for failure, but God never does that. When He says, I want you to do this or don't do this, He always gives us the ability to do that. And so when He tells us, don't you worry about anything. And that's exactly what David is saying here. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't worry. Second of all, start trusting. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. It's time to start trusting God and to stop worrying. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Start trusting. It's time to stop trying to figure things out and just trust God. The word trust in the Old Testament and the word believe in the New Testament carry the same meaning. John 3:16, it just talks about if we believe in Christ. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer said this, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Put your trust in Christ. Believe on Him. Same meaning. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, folks, we either believe that or we don't. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, a peace that passes all understanding, like Paul said, if we will just keep him at the heart of our life. Third, stay delighted. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So let me ask you something. Would you stay delighted if God gave you all the desires of your heart? Would you? Well, yeah. I believe God's will for your life is to have all the desires of your heart if some principles are operating in your life. All your desires becomes God's will for your life if these five things are operating in your life. They're all in the New Testament. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 first. 2 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 9. And all of these things simply say, this is God's will for your life. Each one of these five principles, this is God's will for your life. First of all, 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Not willing, or this is God's will for your life, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will for you to be saved. And if you are saved, then there's another principle that needs to be in operation in your life, and that is you're sanctified, saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go back a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's begin reading in verse 3. And it can't be any plainer than this as far as this is God's will for your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. If you are saved and you are sanctified, you are set apart for the holiness of God, and then are you spirit-filled? Go back a little bit further, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's begin reading in verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, this is God's will for your life. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that will, ladies and gentlemen, is for us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that filling there simply means you be controlled by the Spirit of God. If you're drunk with wine, you're controlled by wine. When you're filled with the Spirit, you are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. So you're saved, you're sanctified, you're Spirit-filled. And now back to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and look at verse 19. Are you willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And then last of all, are you surrendered? Romans chapter 12, of course. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If these five principles are operating in your life, I believe whatever your desire is God's will for your life. An older fella was talking with his daughter, and he said to his daughter, he was getting up there in years, he said, I want to die at home. I don't want to die in my bed. I want to die in my easy chair. And then he said, honey, let's pray about it and trust God to take care of that. One evening, just before bedtime, his wife said, I'm going in the bathroom. I'm going to wash my hair. And the gentleman said, you know what? I think I'll just relax in my recliner. When she came out, he had gone to heaven. You know what? Whatever your desire is becomes God's will in your life if those things are operating in your life. Last of all, stand committed. Look at Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. We are to commit our way. We are to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to direct my path and then give me enough good sense to know the way and follow the path that you have given to me. We also need to commit our works unto the Lord. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and look at verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I want you to do something for me. I want you to think about one thing that you are doing for the Lord. Something that you have committed yourself to do for the Lord. I'm not talking about what God does for you. Coming to church is something God does for you. But I want you to think with me and just share with us one thing that you have committed yourself to do. And it can be something as simple as you saying, you know what, I've made the commitment that I just praise the Lord for life, and I try to keep that commitment every day of my life. Something that you are doing for the Lord that you've committed yourself to, Marlene. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, those are good things. I hope that God allows each one of us to have a full ministry of prayer in our life. So, something that you're doing. Yeah, I saw Carol. Oh, boy. Thank you. That's good. Ken, did you have your hand up? Yes. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. What he is talking about, we didn't have the messages that we record every week on the website, and some guy I have no idea who it was, but he got in contact with me and said, "Where's the preaching? I listen to this. I listen to you every week. Where is it?" And I said, "I don't know." Because I don't always listen to myself. But, and that's when we got in touch with Ken. And so, yeah. Amen. And let me tell you something about his commitment. God has brought people into his life because he brings them to us when the men pray. He says, pray for my neighbor, they're lost. Or pray for my neighbor, he's a Catholic and he's getting out of the Catholic Church because he has figured out how disingenuous the Catholic Church is. But God is bringing people into his life because of that commitment. Someone else. Yeah, Cleto. Amen. 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 Yeah. You've heard me say this before. The more you read the Word, the more you want to read it. The less you read it, the less you want to read it. And when that's what he's talking about, he gets up in the morning, he starts reading it, he wants to just read it more and more and more. So, Frank. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. God bless you. I have told Frank many times, people drive by here and they have visited our church simply because we are a church that wants God's house to look nice and the church looks nice from the road, the bushes are trimmed and that kind of thing. Anyone else? All righty, let's get, if somebody would turn off the two back AC units.